And Pastor Carroll started our series that we're going to be sharing with you. You know, there's a couple things in Scripture that mention about when you move the ancient boundary stones, there's certain things that are worth moving, certain things that you build on. And this country was built on the foundation of Christ and the parameters of Scripture. And it's amazing how I remember in school, in a public school, in praying, you know, Pledge Allegiance, and it all disappeared. It said that wicked prevails when good men and women do nothing. What happened in a generation is now happening within 3 years. What happened in 3 years seems to be happening within 3 months. I always wondered as a child when I wasn't serving God at a time between high school and college when I went in the Army and just tried to get away from family, God, everything. The little eerie sound of what it'd be like to be left in this country or anywhere with the church gone. You know, the church, it seems like everybody pokes at. More churches in America than fast food restaurants and police stations and post offices. And what would it be like with the vacuum? What kind of vacuum is going to be left when every believer is gone? You know, even regardless of your bend on eschatology, what would it be like? Would even our enemies like society with that vacuum gone? I love this country. You love it. But we're starting to see what it's like, believe it or not. And it's either going to be a revival, a move of God, an awakening in our land, or we're apt to go of the other nations of the world, that we're going to end up have to be the biggest mission field. You're going to have to come back and reach us, right? So last week you saw the part one of the American Christian Foundation, Pastor Carl, you might want to share some of the things that they might be seeing tonight and try to encourage on the several services that we have, the other services that we have throughout the week for the people to come. Apologetics is giving an answer to everyone who asks us if the hope is within us, but not just theologically, but theologically also in context to a nation. A nation doesn't have a soul that could be born again. You understand? A nation is judged in merit. It reaps. The people are the ones that are, you know, spirit, soul, and body. But the nation's core is in trouble. And you're going to see some of the reality of that.
Thanks, Pastor. Last week, we shared about in this video, and going to continue it this week, about some of the founding fathers. And sometimes there's a tendency not to just focus on one or two or three founding fathers, but there were over 250 founding fathers, and the vast majority of them, over probably 95% of them, were men of God. A lot of them were pastors who helped establish this nation and the principles that guide and that have guided this nation for many, many years. And it's interesting because there's a tendency also, and you'll hear this tonight, there's a tendency to revise history. But the gentleman that's presenting this, David Barton, actually hands the original document and say, like, for instance, John Hancock, here in his own writing, here's what he said. In the documents that he printed, this is what they say, rather than just assuming and taking somebody else's word or taking the word of someone who's written about that information. He takes the time to present this. Hey, this is what the original document says. So it takes away all the doubt, if you will. So watch this tonight. We need to understand what our roots are and what our godly heritage is. You've heard the old analogy of a frog can you put him in a pan of water and you begin to turn the heat up and gradually the temperature changes and he'll literally boil himself to death and won't get out of the pot. But if you throw him in hot water immediately, he'll jump out. And what we see is a gradual, and this is what we've seen, is a gradual change. So we need to understand where we came from to know where we're going to go and know how we get there. Just like this city was founded on some godly principles and godly roots from its very inception. You heard Pastor share about how that when there was controversy about trying to change some of those godly heritage, godly foundation, to introduce things into the city that were not godly, It was by being able to go back and say, this is what the roots are. This is what the principles are that are supposed to guide the city. Things were able to change. So when we see what are godly foundations and godly principles, it gives us that authority, if you will, to pray, to seek the face of God, and pray knowing that we have been founded on godly heritage and godly principles. So,
if you've been a part of this church, we participated since its early beginnings and rebirthing it in the city with other churches, of course, and then even running the Daytona 500 fourth turn at its heyday. With the churches, even flying in Governor Jeb Bush, if you remember. I just wanted to close with what, those of you that made that lunchtime, and we do it the same year every year, right? Noon on the north steps of a historic courthouse on Indiana, or Rich Street in downtown DeLand. And we hand these things out. What do we pray for? Government, the federal government, state government, local government, military, media, business, education, church, family. I think we need to pray for our history, don't we?
Yes, sir.
And so why don't you stand with me, and maybe this could be a prophetic picture of this beautiful ending of the drought. Or, excuse me, whatever they tell us this is. It seems like unless somebody tells us a drought or a shortage or a flood, we can't come to a conclusion ourselves. But we need to pray. We don't need to break the law, do something stupid. We don't need to make the pulpit politics. But as you see, as you're learning, these are the fundamental dynamics of our nation. You know, to find out that number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 16 were the main things, and 17 wasn't the main thing. Okay? This past Sunday, when the generational teaching between Pastor Carroll and the portion of Scripture that he used and the portion of Scripture Pastor Nate used, you know, it does come back down to where a man's treasure is, you'll find his heart. And where his heart is, you'll find his treasure. And when a nation is allowed to forget its moral, spiritual basis, it's going to default to the selfish, to the sensual, to the temporal. And oddly enough, if government or people that misuse their gifts of money appeal to even the broad spectrum of God-fearing people, it's easy to get bought or tainted by what's offered to us. We cannot allow ourselves to be bought, knowing that we've been bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we cannot allow people coming in that hate this country, hate its bases. Why come? I mean, a lot of people aren't standing in line to get into other countries. But I don't know why we could give freedom to people that hate this country, which is blessed because of the roots of the forefathers and the convictions. Even our enemies have more rights in this country than they have in their countries. So I think we need to take a moment as we close tonight to pray. And let's do that, okay? Would you just pray? Father, we just come to you right now in the name of Jesus. And we pray. Father, we believe, God, that we won't limit you, and we won't make you a party leader, a Democrat or Republican, a Libertarian. You are King. You are Jehovah God. And what gift have you gave by pouring yourself into the babe of Bethlehem, born to die? Father, we just pray, Lord. And we repent for being prone to selfishness, forgetting our moral convictions as a people. And we recognize that this should not be fought in the flesh. You sent your son to die once for all men, so men wouldn't have to send their sons to blow up other innocent sons. So we cry and say, Lord, in judgment, remember mercy. We pray for mercy. And Father, we pray that the salt and the light of the earth doesn't rise up with weapons of man's warfare, but spiritual weapons of humility, the fear of the Lord, and love, and proclamation of the gospel, the good news. And we just pray right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for our nation, for those in authority over us. We don't curse them. We pray for them so, as the scripture says, we can live in a peaceable state. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. It's 2 minutes before 8:30. And what good is it to inherit the whole world or even get the ultimate dream, even if you call it the American dream, if that dream leaves you bankrupt and broken in 70, 80 years? It's nothing. It's not about the American dream. It's about in the last days God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, and there'll be a dream of God establishing a perfect order, redeemed sinful men, sinful woman, to new heavens and new earth. Do you know Him? After you take your last breath, do you have a guarantee that you will know Him? For God so loved you, He so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus speaks about a never-ending kingdom. He says, pray this way, that His kingdom come, and His will be done. Because we're seeing the kingdoms of tainted men's hands are faltering in the East, in the West, all over, because of the Adamic nature of humanity. But the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is the one that can make things new. And it starts right here. Be King of my heart, Lord. Be King of my heart, King of Kings. And by inviting Him into your heart, He'll come in and set up His place. We have to get off the throne of our own heart and give Him preeminence. So if you would just, if you've never done that, I can't think of a better time than right now. Or maybe you've known Him at one time and you've allowed religiosity or ugly religion or stuff to turn you away. I'm sorry for that. But that wasn't God. He loves you. Invite Him in. Accept Christ as your Savior. And He'll establish Himself in your heart. And kings and kingdoms will all pass away. That's the promise of Scripture. Because of man's dirty hands, but God will establish His kingdom. And you don't have to hurt anybody to get into it. You don't have to hurt yourself or hurt others. You can't even be good enough. We can't earn our way in. For salvation is a gift of God through Jesus Christ, through faith in the one who died for us. Just invite Him into your life. If you have any questions, if you'd like to accept Him as your Lord and Savior, just you can see myself, Pastor Carol, or our guest missionary, and we'd love to answer any questions you have, pray with you. But it's as simple as ABC. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Believe, not in an ism, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And see, confess your sins to Him. You don't have to confess them to me. He hears you. And confess Him as Lord of your life. Something simple, a simple prayer I said some 30-some years ago. I said, if I was worth dying for, He's worth living for. And I'll tell you what a great adventure it's been. He's no respecter of persons. God bless you. I love you. Have a great night. It's early. Be careful driving home in that beautiful rain.